Now, there we go. We're recording the call today, and I want to thank everyone for coming here. Our today's topic is going to be the squirrel in the attic. It's a portion of the presentation that a number of us presented in Quebec City at the ICF conference just last month. And we've taken some of the materials from that and the part that seemed to be most useful to people at the conference, and we've kind of condensed it down to what is going to be about a 45 to 60 minute presentation today. You will be getting CEUs on this call from the ICF that can be used towards your credentialing, and we're going to use a standard kind of practice in doing that. We're going to get the password out now at the beginning of the call. We're going to give a second half of the password out at the end of the call. So I'm going to give the email address and the first half of the password now. Has anyone else joined the call that wants to introduce themselves? No? Let me give you, first of all, the email address to send your password to get CEU's first call. The email address is Tom, my name, T-O-M. The message is the same as the other emails I've been giving out. I'll give it again. It's Tom at Krapu, K-R-A, P as in Paul, U, the number 4.com. So just send me an email after the call today and up to 1 week from today, and I'll get you a certificate, a CEU certificate that you can print out for credentialing purposes. And put the password, it's going to be two words, put that in the subject line, and if your email software requires something in the body, you can just put something in the body, like the password there, and send that email to me. The first half of the password is squirrel, S-Q-U-I-R-R-E-L. Does anyone need for me to repeat any of that information? Good. Okay, I want to thank everyone for coming to the call today. Four of the five presenters that were in Quebec City are here on the call. Myself, Tom Krapu. Everyone else want to introduce yourselves real quickly?
Sure. My name's Lynn Mike, and I'm in the Philadelphia area, so hi, everybody.
And I'm Lisa Kramer, and I'm also in the Philadelphia area. Welcome, everyone.
And I'm Roy Friedman, and I'm really in the Philadelphia. Those other two people are really lying to you. They're in the suburbs.
Oh, we said Philadelphia area.
I didn't mention, I'm Tom Krapu, and I'm actually from St. Louis. I'm the applicant here. Let's get started on the call. One of the things we want to do is give a little bit of a review, an update. This presentation that we're doing today was actually a follow-up to a presentation that we did in Denver at the Denver ICF conference called Elephant in the Room. And it's on the topic of dealing with clinical issues in the coaching process. And one of the things we did in our Denver presentation was present materials to help look at the process of coaching and how a potentially clinical issue might affect the coaching process, and to help coaches start looking at that to be able to improve and develop the skills they need to be able to deal effectively as coaches with potential or real psychotherapy issues in the coaching process. For those of you who are interested in that presentation, there's a reference to it in the handout for the preparation materials for today. And it's an excellent presentation, especially with some materials that Roy Friedman, a coach client of his, agreed to share on issues that arise in the coaching process and how Roy dealt with those. Our presentation in Quebec City was an extension of the presentation, and there are a few things that we did in that presentation. Part of what we're going to do today, one of the things that we did was we developed an instrument that is an instrument that is designed by coaches and for coaches to help them potentially look at and help determine strengths and possible areas of problem for coaching clients to help explore the coaching relationship, identify goals, and possibly identify areas that may be problematic for the person. It may even indicate a need for psychotherapy referral. And we presented the instrument in Quebec City. There's also references to that instrument in the handout that was part of the preparation materials. And we'll probably be talking a little bit more about that at the end of the call. But the important part that relates to today's presentation has to do with the assessment instrument and a sample of the assessment instrument that we drew up with 10 items answered for a fictitious person. Lynn and Lisa are going to do a role play today based on that. So if you have the preparation materials, one of the things you might want to pull out in front of you now is the sample instrument for Lisa and Lynn's role play. And I'm going to introduce Lynn now, because she's going to talk a little bit about the role play, and then Lisa and Lynn are going to continue for us. So are you ready, Lynn?
Oh, as ready as I'll be today.
Great. Here we go.
Okay. Well, welcome, everyone. And what I want to do on this role play is just give you a little bit of background. You have the life satisfaction survey in front of you. So you know that our client is female. You also know she's 35, and that she's involved in individual or life coaching, and that she's separated from her spouse. Now, one of the ways that we can use this survey is it can identify strengths, and as Tom said, it can identify areas for growth. I call them growing edges. It can also point out some other things that we'll see how this role play goes. And by the way, Lisa and I do not rehearse this stuff. I think we ran through it once before Quebec. So the reason we don't really rehearse it is so that you can hear it happening as Lisa role plays. So she can be a very nice client to me, or she could be the client from you know where. So we will find out. But this is not, and we're going to call her Jane today. So Jane came for coaching because she was looking for a new job. She was transitioning to a new job and was just kind of trying to sort out where did she want to go. And she also decided to look at her whole life, which raised some questions about who am I, what's my purpose, where am I going, what am I about. And she had an awareness that there was more to life than what she was experiencing right now. So during the coaching process, what we discovered was there were a lot of things kind of out there. You know how you get a client that comes to you and a lot of stuff is popping for them and they're not quite sure which direction to go and that sort of stuff. So, and she also was just recently separated, and so sometimes when she would decide on some goals for herself or some set her intentions to do something from one call to the next, that wasn't getting done, but yet she was saying that it wasn't the work she needed to do, it just wasn't getting done. So we weren't quite sure what was going on, so I asked her to take the survey. And so you have in front of you 10 of her responses, and by the way, the full survey, right at this point in time, has 100 possible responses. And Tom may say more about that as this instrument gets more and more developed. That number may go down. But for right now, there are 100 items. And we just took the first 10 that were on the survey. And these were her responses for those of you that don't have it in front of you. For life is an adventure, she indicated that I would never love her. I am able to calm myself when I feel anxious or stressed. She said that that would seldom like her. The third statement was I enjoy success, to which she responded that seldom like me. Fourth, but I forget to eat, and she declared that that was usually like her. The fifth is I'm hardly ever angry, and she said that was seldom like her. The sixth was I throw up after eating, and she said that that was usually like her. Number seven was I rarely complete things I start, and she said that was almost always like her. Number eight is my life is an expression of my values, and she said that's not never like her. Number nine is I'm angry more than I would like to be. She says that's usually like her. And finally, I wish I wasn't here. She responds, that's never like me. So this is what I got back. When Jane took this survey, Jane got a copy of her responses, and I got a copy of my responses. What you're going to hear right now is the call right after she had taken the survey and we had our responses back. Are there any questions about that right now?
I have a question, Lynn. Did you actually give her 100 questions? Or this is just a made-up
thing,
right?
This is just a simple
Okay, got it.
Okay? If I were giving it to a client, yes, they would have 100, and you would get the 100 back. Okay?
And what we want all of you to understand is that in this role play, Lynn and Lisa have been working together for a little while. This is not an intake interview.
Lynn and Jane.
I'm sorry, Lynn and Jane.
Yes, we got to get the names right here. Okay, so I hear my phone ringing and I pick it up. And hello.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi, Jane.
How are you?
I'm terrific. Hey, I wanted to really thank you for going on that website and taking the life satisfaction survey.
Sure, no problem.
Yeah, I got the responses back, and in fact, I have them in front of me, and I would guess that you got yours back. Am I accurate?
I did, yes.
Oh, good. Good. So, do you want to start there, or do you want to start somewhere else today?
No, I think this is probably as good a place to start as any.
Oh, good. Okay. So, Lisa, let me ask you, what did you notice as you looked over your responses?
Well, I actually, there were some surprises.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, tell me about them.
Well, you know, I know that I hired you because I wanted to make some changes in my life, and so that's not a surprise. But what surprised me is that, I guess I'm a lot less satisfied with my life than I thought I was. You know, when I look at these responses, my what I take away is, you know, boy, I'm really not where I want to be.
Which ones really indicated that to you? Which ones were the ones that, you know, kind of said, oh, I'm not really where I want to be?
Well, definitely the one that says life is an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really do have that side to me that is very adventuresome, and I don't think I'm expressing that very much right now in my life. And I know that, you know, my work, being a teacher right now and really wanting to make a change is, I know part of it is that. It's like, it's just not exciting me anymore, so. And then the one about my life is an expression of my values. You know, I know from working with you, I've really learned a lot about what my core values are. I didn't really know about that so much before I started coaching with you. And I see that, you know, my life really is not an expression of my values. And, and that kind of bumped me out a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having gone through the separation recently, I'm realizing that, you know, there are a lot of feelings that are coming up for me. And one of them is anger. I mean, I really am pretty angry about everything that has gone on between me and my husband, and I guess I wasn't so much in touch with it earlier, but those feelings are definitely surfacing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is just about, you know, how I have this tendency to start things a lot and just not follow through. So I have these projects that are just kind of left hanging, and there's no sense of satisfaction around completing something that I've begun, maybe seeing it from start to finish.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds like that's not where you were before.
Well, I don't know that I was ever a lot different than that, but I know that it's something that's really bothering me right now. Maybe I didn't notice it about myself so much before, but I think I'm getting, becoming more aware, and one of the things I'm aware of is I don't finish things.
Well, great for your awareness. Did you notice anything else?
Those were probably the main things.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit more about your response when you talked about enjoying success, that that's seldom like you?
Well, again, I think it's probably situational. I know there was a time when I first became a teacher when I was in my, my early to mid-20s, like right out of school, and I loved what I did. I looked forward to getting up every day and going to school. I loved the kids. I loved all of it. And it's just gotten old, and it's not exciting to me anymore, and I don't feel like I'm very successful. I kind of feel like I've, hit a wall.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And so what you're looking for is to recapture more of that enjoyment and success.
Yeah, that would be great.
Is there anything else on this survey that stood out for you?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
Okay. Well, there were a couple things that stood out for me. May I share that with you?
Sure.
Yeah, the thing that stood out for me that I wanted to focus on just for a few minutes is about your eating.
Mm-hmm.
What can you tell me? I mean, you say you're forgetting to eat and that you're throwing up after eating.
Mm-hmm. Well, when I was in college, I had some problems with eating, and I did actually work with a therapist at that point.
Oh, okay.
And as an adult, I've pretty much had it under control. I mean, it really hasn't been a problem for me. But I think with the stress of going through a separation and being really unhappy with my work and just not in a great place, it seems like food is an area where I can feel some control, some sense of control. And so I just really don't want to end up gaining weight right now or finding myself feeling out of control with my eating. I probably have, kind of shifted to one end of the spectrum again, and I'm being somewhat of a control freak around food right now.
So I'm hearing that. Can you tell me how long it's been since you've been throwing up again?
It doesn't happen all the time. It's just, it's just an occasional thing. And my husband and I separated about 6 months ago, and I would say it's probably been the past, maybe 2 months or so. And again, it's an occasional thing. It's not like an everyday thing.
Okay. So, Jane, what I'm aware is that this is kicking up again. Do you think it's time for you to revisit the therapist again to handle this?
Well, to be honest with you, Lynn, I really feel comfortable working with you as my coach, and I don't really feel like working with a therapist right now. I just don't feel like I have the energy for that, and I really do feel like I'm getting a lot of support from you and making changes in my life. And the other thing is I feel like I'm a lot more resourceful right now than I was when I was in college. It doesn't feel like, at that point I was pretty much I was really in a bad place, and I don't feel like I'm in that place again.
So what I'm hearing, Jane, if I have this right, is when you were in college, it really got out of control, the eating stuff, and you dealt with it in therapy. Did that really work for you as you worked on it back in the day?
Yeah, it really did work for me.
Okay, great. As you know, sometimes around eating disorders, I'm sure when you were in the throes of it back when you were in college, you knew how it could creep up on you
mm-hmm.
and be really prevalent. So think it's important for us not to ignore it, but to pay attention to it.
Yeah.
So can you come up with some ways that we can really kind of stay on top of it and be aware of it?
Well, I do have an idea of what I can do. Do you remember I told you I took that mindfulness meditation class?
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, one of the things I learned from that class was about being able to sort of step back and be the observer as opposed to kind of get, like, emotionally caught up in something.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really a huge learning for me from that class.
Uh-huh.
And so I wonder if, you know, maybe there's a way I can bring some of that mindfulness into what's going on for me right now or in eating.
Okay. Did any ideas, as you were talking to me just now, did any ideas pop into your head of a way that you could bring that in? That awareness, that mindfulness?
Yeah. One idea that I have is that I can just notice, like, when I'm in a place where I feel like I am either thinking about, you know, making myself throw up, or I'm just kind of focused on that, you know, and just maybe do a little bit of journaling about what is it that's going on for me, or even just in terms of choosing to eat or not to eat, again, you know, just sort of stepping back and noticing, you know, so what's going on right now? Did I just have an argument with my husband on the phone, or, you know, maybe, but just to kind of pay attention to some of the patterns that come up and do some journaling around that.
Okay, I think that would be great. And would you be willing to kind of keep a log of that and bring it next time so that we can discuss it?
Yeah, I would be willing to do that.
Yeah, and do exactly what you said, to put down what was going on, what came up for you, you know, am I wanting to not eat, am I wanting to eat and throw up, what's going on right now.
Okay.
So you can start to see the pattern. The other thing, you say that you forget to eat. I'm wondering if you could do something there to allow yourself to pay attention to what's going on in your body.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Well, there's something, if I could share with you, is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. There's something called a body scan
mm-hmm.
that you can do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you could, you know, even create like a sign that says body scan.
Okay.
And put it in front of you. I don't know, do you work in front of a computer, or is there some place that you see it regularly to remind you?
Maybe I could put something like on my desk at all.
That would be good. And to just check in with your body like every hour
mm-hmm.
and just say, okay, what's going on right now in my body? Just do a quick scan and just see when you start to get hungry.
Okay.
Would that be useful?
Well, I'm willing to give it a try, and then I can let you know.
Okay. So what I hear right now, what you're willing to do, is to keep that log and do a little journaling as you go along. So that you increase your awareness of what's going on
right.
around the food and the throwing up.
Mm-hmm.
And also to create a sign that says body scan or something that reminds you to just stop and see what your body's going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
At least on an hourly basis. Is there anything else that you would think would help stay on top of it?
Well, I think for right now that feels like plenty.
Okay, great. And let's revisit next time and just see.
Okay.
Okay? And how was it, by the way, for you to take this survey?
It was a little bit long, you know, 100
mm-hmm.
questions was a little bit long.
Sure.
But I think that I ended up learning some things about myself that I just hadn't realized before.
Mm-hmm.
So that was useful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's focus on some of those things next time as well, so we can move you into creating more of an adventuresome life.
Okay, that sounds good.
And enjoying success again, seeing what that's been about.
Okay.
All right, Jane, I'll be looking forward to hearing from you next week. And if in the meantime you need to touch base, please feel free.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks, Lynn. I appreciate your help.
Sure enough. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. Any feedback, guys?
John from Philadelphia. Very well done.
Okay.
Very, I found it to be very, you know, a very smooth way. You were really coaching this person.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that I noticed. I mean, there was clearly a red flag therapeutic issue came up, and you coached on it rather than, you know, did therapy on it.
That's right.
And it was the client who was really making the decisions about what to do, and she had a lot of capabilities to do that. And a lot of from her past therapy and her past experience, she had some ideas about how she could deal with it. So she was really, if anybody was doing therapy, she was doing it herself.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we weren't letting her off the hook either.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I noticed.
Great, thanks, John. Anyone else?
Well, this is Ray. One of the things that that I was clear about was that you left the door open for psychotherapy as a possibility in the future. And so the squirrel that was present was out there and in the coaching LS, and should it need to result in a referral next week or next month, you sort of had the sense you were going to check back in.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks, Rob. Anyone else have any questions or comments? Or
I do. If she didn't have so much awareness around it, I wonder where you would take it. I mean, she has the ideal client.
So if you
have someone who has no awareness on the issue whatsoever and still thinks that the coaching is going to be enough, I wondered how you would have handled that. That's part of it. And the other part is just my observation in the coaching was like extremely gentle and always asking for permission from the client. And one of the things I was thinking of each time that I heard you say that was, don't we already have that permission granted to ask those questions without always having to say, may I ask you, or can I ask you, is it okay if I say this? It's sort of like, isn't that sort of what they're coming to you for coaching for? Unless you really get into something, like just asking permission to comment on the survey, I mean, that to me would be the whole, I think I would have set up, you know, to do the survey and then we can take a look at it and I can give you feedback and get your feedback and talk about it.
You know, you have a point there, and yes, implicit in the coaching relationship is the notion that you'll be asking things. However, given that, I do like to go back and ask clients a lot because it's always putting them back in charge. And I never want the client, or me anyway, to think that I'm the one running the show. Because this is there. The client's always in charge of the call. So that's the response to that last part. So part of my style is I do ask permission.
It also, it also models the client asking herself. The client actually acknowledging to herself that she's always a choice. That there are, but if in the course of your coaching session, what you do is you go back to that, may I maybe talk about this? Is it okay if we do that? What you're doing is you're presenting your client with an acknowledgement that they're a choice.
About because it was just kind of redundant and almost.
It's not so you're. your coaching sessions wouldn't look like Lynn's coaching sessions.
No.
You have to have them look like your coaching sessions.
Right. That's why I wondered if it was because of you knew you were treading on something serious, or is that something?
I mean, after I've been worked with a client for a long time, I don't always do that session, but when I'm changing a topic, too, like I was doing here, the shift, because she has been focusing, if you will, on about these life not being an adventure and not getting things done and blah, 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 and I'm taking it in another direction, something that she has totally stayed away from.
That was my point.
Yeah.
When I would definitely ask,
right.
I would clearly say that we're making a left or right hand turn, not in that terms, but it would be
right.
Something that I would clearly say out and get the permission, not to keep asking to a call.
Well, it depends. Yeah. I mean, so you're going to do it in your own style.
Okay.
But, and so that's fine. Going back to if she had not been a compliant, and I hate that word, by the way, or let me say it differently, if she had not been so resourceful, and if this were something new, if you noticed when I coached her, I did ask her how long has this been going on.
Right.
Because I didn't want somebody that was, I think eating disorders that was bleeding and doing all that kind of stuff, because then we had a different scenario, right?
Right.
Or if she was not resourceful, I would have stayed with it, or I would have followed up, and I would have at the least asked her to get a consult from an MD.
What terminology is that how we've used with someone and then ask them to consider the possibility?
Mm-hmm.
So that it's not, again, me, as we're talking about, me giving a direction. It's always still in their control. But we ask them to consider the possibility, and then I would write out the request or creatively state it in a way that's palatable to them.
Well, and if I find that she was in some sort of jeopardy, I would ramp that up even more. And say you must do that. I would really, since I would have by that time had a relationship with her, I would have said something like this is really important.
And so you didn't think so. So then, because I am not a psychotherapist, so in my best thinking, I would have asked her to consider the possibility of at least thinking about revisiting the counseling experience, because for me,
of course, she went there, and she distinguished her current experiences that she had in college, and I mean she used one of our club words, saying that she was resourceful. But if she had instead of that, if she had said, "Look, I'm feeling up to this, and I'm feeling in control, and I don't feel like these circumstances are running my life, and I choose to stay with the coaching." She's allowed to make that choice. She's allowed to make that choice right off into the place where you have a cognition in your head that she's treading on territory that you're not trained to deal with. And it doesn't mean that you can't coach somebody into seeking therapy. Lots of us have done it many times.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get clear on. I want to understand from a psychotherapist's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
In my mind, once she started saying that she once began throwing up again, even if she did it one time, a red flag goes up, let alone she says she's been doing it now for a couple of months. To me, I think I would have, as I said, ask not just for journaling and then reporting back, because for me it sounds more serious, and I would have asked her to think about that possibility, and then write all the, like I always use the idea of using the journaling and saying, write all the reasons why it might be a good idea to start, because we know that compulsive disorders are always, they don't just stay right where they are, at least it's my knowledge, that once they start again, that they really pick up a life of their own.
Not necessarily.
So journaling could really help someone stop?
She remember that she said she wanted to become aware. She said, I'm doing it sporadically. or I'm having the urge sporadically. So we're not really clear yet exactly what's going on. Okay. So what she has suggested, what this client suggested, is to become more aware. So you better believe the next call we're going to, and I already set that up in the coaching, but the next time we would be revisiting that. And if she came back and she said, you know, I didn't realize I'm throwing up twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's pretty drastic.
I wondered, Lynn, if it was important when she said not every day. I was expecting you to say, because it's been a couple months, it's every other day. And that sounds pretty often.
This is what we're going to see over the week.
Okay.
At this point, she's just given, like, a lot of people go through life, like you and I go through life, and we don't really pay attention.
Right.
And so what she's saying is, hey, I pay attention to this. Mm-hmm. So it has jumped from being not noticed to the top of the agenda list for me. Mm-hmm. And for her, too. She's going to be focused on it.
Mm-hmm. There's another
that I think is really important. Who's the other one that's talking in addition to
before you gave it.
Or did. And the other is, what if she has been, you decided to refer her to work on the team, but she wanted to continue coaching on looking for a job or whatever?
Okay, two really wonderful questions. Let me answer the second one first, if you will.
Sure.
If she had wanted to continue coaching and see a therapist, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily do that. In fact, I do with clients. Okay, so, and with clients that I do that with periodically, I'll just, I might reference how's it going with therapy,
yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. I know some people sometimes will get a release from the client so that they can talk to the therapist. So there's a whole array that you can do. So in this model, in the coaching frame, you can still keep coaching the client on these things about like life satisfaction, getting a new job, whatever, and leave the therapy to the therapist. You could also say to the client, you know, or do you want to take a break from the coaching while you go and deal with this stuff in therapy?
Yeah.
So either way works just fine. Okay? And I leave that up to the client. The first question again was, refresh me.
When do you, it's sort of what you would say that you had already some sort of rapport with her, that you had been coaching her,
yeah.
But what, I would think you'd do this pretty early on, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, actually, you bring up a point that we wanted to get across today. It's this survey you can use at the very beginning of coaching to see, because it'll help sort out, just like she was making some discoveries about herself. The client can make discoveries that will help us point out. For instance, if your client take the first one, life is an adventure, and they said, that's usually like me. Well, wow.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so this survey can be used on either, if we just change these markings, we get a totally different profile.
Is this survey available on either third?
Yeah, and Tom's going to give you that address and everything. So you can use the survey at the beginning of coaching. You can use it on what was coming up here partway through. And here's another one. You can use it throughout the coaching to see, to note some progress.
Mm-hmm.
Or even at the end of your coaching with this client, say, hey, go back and take that life satisfaction survey. Let's see where you are now. So it can be used any way that you like, like that.
David, I have a related question.
Yeah, David.
Are you just pulling out these 10 questions just because at random you thought those were ones that needed to be made a good example? I mean, are you going through 100, hypothetically, are you going through all 100 questions and choosing the ones?
Hypothetically, you go through the 100. And the reason there's 100, David, is that it's not been validated yet, and that's where you all can help us out.
So there's no hierarchy established?
No. In fact, when we constructed this, Tom got a whole random numbers. Have you ever heard of random numbers?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how we put it together. So that it didn't follow any set pattern. We had our questions, and then we applied the random numbers to it, and that's how it got written up.
Can I speak a little bit more of that, Lynn?
Yes, please.
But David, what we did was, as a team, we tried to look at content areas that we thought would be very helpful in understanding the coaching process for clients, what kind of things would be relevant to their, what they might be bringing to the coaching, and areas that we think might be problematic that would be really helpful to know about as a coach in terms of where a client is at. Now, there's about six categories, and we constructed items, 100 items in total, over those six categories. And the validation process we're going through now is actually, we want to do an empirical study to really see if those six categories that we keep up in our heads really holds up in the items themselves. And that's why we're looking for coaches, engaging clients, and actually psychotherapists and psychotherapy clients, and the general population, to take this survey so that we can gather data and do a more of an analytic process and really see which one of these items hold up. Hopefully the final survey that we use will be less than 100 items. Did that help answer your question?
We asked the same question several different ways.
Yeah, and to my mind, the sort of lifestyle questions like I enjoy success or the main goal is an adventure, are one piece of this process, but I think from my practice, I'm much more interested in destructive behavior and things like eating disorders or sexually destructive behavior or suicidal and anger management. I mean, those to me are probably the four most I guess sensitive in terms of the therapy coaching boundary and or the ramifications that go with them.
Right. And David, if you noticed, some of that was already there about, I wish I wasn't here, you know that was more toward that suicidal line, the destructive line.
Are there other questions in the survey that speak to the suicide question?
I think so.
Also depression and low motivation and things like that are also tapped. And all of you can go to the survey and actually, we would invite all of you to go to the survey and actually just take the survey yourself so we can gather some data. And also you'll get a good survey, a sense of all the different questions that are there.
We'd love your input too. Any area we missed or whatnot.
So do you use this for people helping we're trying to help people address red flags here. I understand that, but I mean, do you use it for helping people set goals? And
absolutely. I mean, if you took these 10 questions, I don't know, on one thing we were looking at, they just came up the first 10. We just used those.
Yeah.
Let's see, why is this an expression of my values? If they said occasionally like me, well, right there, is that something that you want to get more comfortable with? Do you want your life to express more of your values? So as the coach, it's ways that you can stay within the coaching frame and really your client can learn about themselves.
This is David. I'd be happy to try that with a couple clients. I'm just wondering, though, how do the results end up coming back to the results when the person completes the survey go to someone on the call, or how does that work?
David, let me explain how that works. If you go to the website, it's an internet form.
Can you tell us the website?
The website is actually listed at the end of the second page of the handout materials in the PDF form. So rather than me spelling out the URL, I'll just tell you it's right there. And what happens, right now, this is in a research stage right now. Eventually, we want there to be actual scales that are scored around areas like perhaps on depression or anxiety or motivation. And things like that. Right now, we don't have those developed because we haven't gone through this analytic process. Right now, the results are their specific answers for the 100 items that they've answered. And you can just go over those, kind of like Lynn did today, or Jane, and you can kind of just go over them and see, well, what are the real high points and low points? That might be a good place to start. And that's all more than we can give in terms of feedback right now on results, but that's what we give. And for coaching clients that fill this out, we do not send them their results unless they give an email address to their coach as well, because we want people to have someone who also will go over those results with them for obvious ethical reasons.
Are you looking then for people on this call to join you in your research project?
We would love that. We would love that.
And we wanted to let you know.
Sure.
So if people come in...
I said, how did you want us? How did you want us to let you know?
Well, actually, you can just go to the site and take the survey.
And then you'll know we're interested?
There's a place... I believe there's a place on the survey. I know there's a place to put your email address if you're a coach. We're also actually looking for...
Tom, I think he's asking something a little different.
Okay.
If you have an interest in joining with us in this project in some kind of way, email one of us and
we'll get to you.
Yeah, I mean, we'll keep you in the loop.
But are you saying that we can send clients to this www.proper4.com/lifeless PDF, and they would get their results sent to the coach?
That's what I was wondering. When it says submit results at the end, where does that message go?
Okay, David. First of all, the site that you go to take the survey ends with HTML. I think it's called lifesurvey.html.
Yeah,
or HTML. PM. It's not a PDF file. I heard somebody say that, and I want to correct it. It's not a PDF file. And we may put the results. The results are actually to me. I put those results into a research database that we're going to use eventually to analyze the results. And if the people put an email address for themselves as a coaching client, and if they put an email address to their coach, then I send both the client and the coach an email with those results.
What does the results mean? What do they look like? I don't kind of follow.
Yeah, that would be my question. Are they just the questions with the
answers? It's just usually the answers. In other words, you get the answers back.
This is what it looked like with these
10
that we
sent out,
right?
Well, no, it isn't scaled like that. What it is the question that was asked, and then there's a number after the question on a scale of 1 to 5. 1.
Life is an adventure, 1.
Right.
I enable to calm myself when adventures are stressed, 2. Because that was
the 1
to 5 life is.
Right.
But Tom, this is David again, just in terms of the confidentiality, if one of my clients fills this out and says submit and it goes off into the ethers,
yeah.
I'm not sure that would work for them.
Well, it's... Okay, well, you're right, it's not a secure site. The only email that it goes to is my email address. That's where the results are sent, and I forward those in an unsecure email to yourself and your coaching client. And you're right, it's no more secure than any email is, but it's just as secure as any email is also.
I'm sorry, just to be clear, I don't think it's about the internet security. It's more about who's reading the results and knowing that it's connected to this particular person.
We don't have a place for names on there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
just an email address?
Just an email address. And you're right, technically, and actually I don't look at the results because I don't have time to look for items for a stranger that sends this in, but I have access to those results and email addresses that they're connected to. Other than that, I safeguard the confidentiality of those as I would any other research data.
Okay, and it actually happens that one of the clients I'm thinking of, her email address is her name, so it's an issue, but okay, it's good to know that.
Or the other thing is if then have her just put down your email, the coach's email address, you get the results and forward them to her.
Okay, great, so it'll work that way.
Then Lynn, he will not know whose results he's getting.
That's right, if you have several different clients.
You're one of my multiple personalities.
Well, you could instruct your client to, you know, use a particular name that's not there, like Jane or something.
It's fine. I'm happy to. I'll test it with one client, and we'll start with that.
Okay, that's great, David. That's great.
I can't remember. I don't have the form in front of me either, but there might be a memo there somewhere where she could create a pseudonym like Jane Doe, and then when the results came to you, that field would show up Jane Doe somewhere. And like I said, I have to look at the form to see if that could be done. But
and there's also who is being surveyed other, so that might differentiate that way too.
Right.
And so there's no tabulation in some of these other tests where you would be able to see what category you fall, just questions that would help ask your inquiry about your own self.
Right.
Correct.
Right now, later on,
right.
I would like to, it may show some, you know, predictive kinds of things, you know?
Another thing that may give you the coach is it may give you just a quick piece of information that wouldn't have come out for 3 months ago, and it's only one that's there.
Well, I definitely should evaluate the survey.
I think 100 questions would be overwhelming now.
Ultimately, we'll end up fewer than that, but we're still playing.
It's part of an intake process, but I think 100 is quite reasonable.
Yeah, and you notice they're short.
Yeah.
Also, I know some people may need to leave, so I want to get the second half of that now, and then a few of us may stay on the call a little bit more to discuss this more, because we really appreciate this discussion.
First half of it.
I got to go. Thanks, folks. Bye.
Thanks, David. I gave the first half of the password at the beginning of the call, and of course I can't get that out again, but I want to give the second half of the password is free. F-R-E-E, free. And I can give you the email address to send that to in case you want the CCEUs. That email address is Tom, T-O-M, at KRAPU, that's K-R-A, P as in Paul, U, the number 4, .com. So just send the first half and the second half of the password to the email address, and I'll send the CCEUs form to you. And Len and Lisa and Roy, can you guys stay on the call a little bit longer?
I'm actually going to have to get off in about 5 minutes, but I can stay on for about 5 more minutes.
I'm sorry, I have to be at 3:30.
So. Okay.
And John,
this is John. I'm going to get off too. Thank you very much. It was a great experience.
Thanks, John. Also, for people, if they don't have your email address already, send out reminders for these calls. And if I don't have your email address, you could drop an email address and be asked to add to that reminder list as well. Are there any other questions or comments people have?
If we want to participate in this with you, I mean, you know, we just send them to that the that you gave us.
Right.
Is that it? Okay.
And if you want to be on the list to get periodic updates, yeah, we develop this, please send your email address to Tom and just mention that.
Okay. Well, I'm just
we will ask you to not just Helter Skelter to hand it out to everybody in the coaching community.
Well, Lynn Michelson,
yes,
it's interesting, at 3 o'clock in an hour, I have a new client. And when I was listening to you, Coach Jane, I swear, I think it was my client. It was so weird. She could be saying the same things. I'm thinking, you know, should I use something of this? And I probably will not. But, I mean, I just was already thinking of how helpful, because she talked on her intake, you know, we had our little sample, she talked about weight, she doesn't need to go 30 pounds. I already appreciated, I wanted to tell you, really how calm you were with her. I looked at this 10 questions and I go, oh my God, this woman looks like, you know, really a mess. And so I appreciated your comments, and I also am already thinking about, you know, it's a good assessment if you have some kinds of questions, I think. Yeah.
May I ask you a question?
You may.
When you read the materials, you got to a place where you were a little troubled about her. As she was answering Lynn's questions, did your opinion of her change?
Of the client?
Of the client.
Oh, yes.
So, being in that place where you're curious about the result of the kind of assessment, can lead to some insight about a client.
Yes, that's right.
Well, but I heard you say I'm not going to use this.
Well, I was thinking about whether to use this 10 questions. I mean, I could say this, but I didn't call. Which I might do if she would be a good one. She's separated. She's your client.
No, it's an amazing one.
But I was really struck with this, what was important. I'm a therapist as well, and I'm really finding myself right at the boundary between therapy and coaching.
Yeah.
Quite a bit. And
yeah.
So this was helpful to hear Lynn utilize coaching
and stay within the coaching frame without sliding into that place where she's reaching conclusions about the client. What Lynn was doing was curious about the client and sort of encouraging the client to be setting the agenda here.
I guess I could send her just, you know, to the site, and I'm actually going to take it before I send her. Then what will I use it for? I guess I'll just use it for research for myself and just for some information.
Yeah, and then you can always use it to open, like I was doing with Jenny/Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
What did you notice?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
You know, what did you notice? And she keeps going back. And she can point out the areas where she felt really good about herself, you know, depending how she answered things. Or the areas like, oh, it surprised me. I thought I was more, you know, I loved life to be an adventure, and here it's not.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to move to coaching mastery, at least I'm surprised you didn't jump in with this one. You could use this survey and her responses to the survey to test your reaction, where you have hot buttons here, so that you can be really aware that you have hot buttons and use it for your own professionalism. So you can be in inquiry with yourself about how sophisticated you are in dealing with staying within the cooking frame. It's not so easy to not judge, and, especially coming from a sophisticated background like a psychotherapist. It's easier for a schlub like me.
No, it's harder because, you know, it's a whole other story. But I think it was helpful. I think it would be interesting as well if you did this again. To add a small role play where you do feel that she's indicating some strong therapeutic issues because she was a very first client at that moment. She came up with the mindfulness and
right. Hey, Lynn, this is Tom. Do you want to do that next month?
Why not? Let's play together.
Think about it. Maybe we can do that as a future call. That would. That's a great picture. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Mikey, I know each other.
Yes, right.
No, the elephant in the room had a circumstance where everybody, all 200 and some odd people that were sitting there, thought that the client was a nutsoid. Me included, I was the coach. This was a true story. Everybody thought the client was nutsoid, except the client wasn't nutsoid.
That's fascinating. And if you all also do a piece on, maybe this isn't relevant, but I am a therapist and I do therapeutic work still. And sometimes that's a tricky thing, but that's probably a whole other bottle of wax for those people that are not therapists.
I gotta go, guys. I'm sorry to jump in. Take it easy. I'll be in touch. So
this is Bob. Actually, I need to go too. Yeah. So thank everyone who's still on the call.